George Capanelli here, welcoming you to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features, interspersed with some great music.
Our topic today, whose beliefs are you living? We're going to talk about some of the beliefs you may be holding that may be holding you back. And we're also going to invite you to take a look at where these beliefs have come from. You'll join Sedina and me for the first part of a valuable and insightful conversation we had with wise woman Barbara Marx Hubbard.
I'm looking forward to that. I love Barbara Marx Hubbard. Yeah. She's a sweetie.
She sure is.
We also have music interludes, as usual. But today, with Mariah Carey, I Am Free, Katie Lang, Lifted by Love, and Melissa Etheridge, All the Way to Heaven. Also, there's a Rudy rap ahead. I don't have the music in front of me, but I picked out another great track of music
great.
For
Can't
that.
Can't wait to hear it. Okay. Can't wait to hear it.
All right. So
Some special features, I think, too, with Enlivened Aging Tribute from Sedina. And Alan and I will do another Gotta Be Kidding segment. So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
By the way, I really like what Sedina had to say about reconnecting to wholeness. So that's,
oh, great.
That's a topic coming up.
Oh, great. So there is a significant difference between believing and knowing. In fact, the road to enlightenment begins and ends with knowing. We open this segment with this quote because our topic today, whose beliefs are you living, is so critical. In fact, in our experience, the difference between believing and knowing can either lead to greater consciousness enlightenment or to our being destined to repeat the same patterns over and over again. So we ask you, have you ever stopped to consider whose beliefs you're living? Where do they come from? Or asked another way, when was the last time you stopped to look at some of the beliefs you're holding, especially some of your beliefs about aging, opinions, and possibilities this life holds for you, about your fears and worries, your victories and celebration, and even some of your confusions and regrets? In short, we ask you to identify some of the beliefs you hold that have shaped your life to date and will, if left unexamined and unchanged, most certainly shape and perhaps limit your life in the years ahead.
You know, I'm so glad we're talking about this. This is one of the most important things about beliefs and knowings and the dogmas that we've attached to. You know, Carl Jung, one of the fathers of the science of psychology, took great pains to point out that believing is very different than knowing. Beliefs most often depend on what other people say, think, or claim to have experienced or have been programmed to in the matrix. In short, belief rests primarily on the opinions held by others, and in many cases a majority of others who make up our world and made up our youth and taught us from the beginning, if not before that. People in our families, churches, schools, businesses, ethnic and religious groups, nations, you name it, where we learn from. Alan Watts, one of my favorites, an author and spiritual teacher, had this to say on the subject, quote, "Beliefs are what we wish to or think we ought to know to be true." No, not know, believe to be true.
Yeah, yeah. So knowing, by comparison, is based on one's personal experience. And while it's true that our experience is sometimes the result of some flawed assumptions or misguided beliefs, in the end, at least, there's a form of knowing that aligns with an inner yardstick that each of us possesses and is far more accurate and consequential than anyone else's beliefs. Knowing also sometimes comes to us from an intuitive flash or insight that may or may not be verifiable to others or traceable to something that's happened in our present life, but it still has certainty and undeniability to it. Finally, there's a form of knowing that manifests in the form of a flight of fancy or imagination. For example, it's said that as a boy, Einstein dreamt of riding a beam of light through space. Later, when he had his skill in mathematics, he was able to verify this dream through the theory of relativity.
I have a theory about knowing too, which that's a surprise for you in the Rudy rap today. It's built in because I knew the subject. So, and you know, although knowing is much more powerful than believing in this age of philosophical materialism, when science and technology are worshipped as the primary means of determining what is real and what is not, beliefs do shape our experience of the modern world. This is, of course, not a new path for humanity. History is full of examples. At one point in history, the prevailing belief was that the world was flat. Earlier, many believed the earth was the center of the universe and the sun and the stars revolved around it. We could, of course, spend a lot of time exploring numerous examples of this phenomena, but we hope that one example will suffice. Consider the topic of weapons of mass destruction, the blatant manipulation of unfounded beliefs that surrounded it, and the fact that we actually went to war and put the lives of our own youth in jeopardy while at the same time slaughtering countless numbers of innocents.
Yeah.
And what's changed? I'm wondering.
Another reason for paying close attention to where our beliefs come from is the law of manifestation holds that energy follows thought, manifestation follows energy. While the validity of this law is becoming more obvious to more of us, it may not be as obvious that if thought equals knowing, then the energy that results is powerful and aligned. If, however, thought equals believing, the energy that results is less stable and requires the participation of others to interpret and translate. What's wrong with this? A great deal. Beliefs require interpreters and translators, what today we refer to as spin doctors. As a result, in the age of beliefs, we are always at the mercy of the imperfections that are present in the character of the translators, and that eventually show up and shape their interpretations and their intentions.
There's something else worth considering here. Although there is a significant confusion in our time between believing and knowing, so much so that there are some who believe they know something when they are in fact simply under the sway of an unexamined assumption. The truth is that once one experiences something sufficiently to be able to say, I know this to be true, then one no longer questions the difference between knowing and believing, a rare quality now.
So we invite you to explore this difference. We know it'll be one of the most valuable things that you'll ever do, and that it can lead you to a life that you were born to live.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sadina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 Book Awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
George and Alan back. We're about to go into an interview with Barbara Marx Hubbard. Remarkable woman, you know, wise woman, conscious, voice of conscious evolutionary. Bucky Fuller called her one of the true futurists of our time. Just a gifted, gifted, remarkable being, and also sweet.
And a perfect example of somebody who hasn't given up without it.
Yep.
Age considerations.
So here's that interview Sidine and I did.
So welcome, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
This is wonderful. Welcome to Conversations with the Wisdom Keepers. It's just really a pleasure for us to have you here today. And
thank
obviously you.
You
have produced a very impressive body of work. I was just thinking as George was reading all of that, one of the honors, you know, and gifts of being an elder is that if you've chosen to live by your passion and purpose, you have a very long bio.
You do, and you have a long life.
Yes, you have a long life, and you have a very, in your case, a very long bio. So before we turn our attention to it, though, all the rest of it, we'd like to give our listeners, just who are already familiar with your work and some who might not be as much, anybody who's listening for the first time, just a chance to learn more about the woman behind the work. So if you don't mind, we'd like to begin about your life. Early in your life, you came from a very unusual family. Both parents were writers and also deeply committed to the evolution of consciousness. So just tell us
my parents were not.
Your parents were not. Well, tell us. What was that like? So how did you come to be? I mean, let's hear what happened.
That's part of the mystery, but my father was Lewis Marx. He was a toy maker, and he was known as for a few years the toy king of the world. And he was one of the first people to make inexpensive toys, and became a partner with Walt Disney to make toys. And he was Jewish agnostic. And when I asked him what religion we were, he said, "You're an American. Do your best." And so I'm the oldest of four children, and we all were told that. We've done our best to do our best. And then my mother died when I was 12, and she was 33, of breast cancer. So I really lost my mother before she was able to become her full potential self. And then what happened to me that turned me into this kind of futurist evolutionary was the bombs on Japan. And my father was a friend of the generals, and I sort of grew up in the military industrial complex, thinking that everything we did was good. Mm-hmm. Power, money, war, victory,
sure.
The whole thing. And when we dropped those bombs, and I was 15 years old, I suddenly stopped and said, with this power, in this consciousness, we're going to destroy the world. But the question I asked is, what is the meaning of our new power that is good? Mm-hmm. What are new images of the future equal to this power? Not life after death or some totally metaphysical future, but how come through Einstein and other great geniuses, we understand nature now. We can not only build bombs, but you understand DNA, and we can we can now destroy our entire life support system with our power. Mm-hmm. And we can evolve our whole system with that power. But way before I understood that, I asked the great question, the meaning of our power that's good.
Yes. Great.
And it guided my life. And my father and mother were not writers or philosophers.
Okay. Where did we get that?
I don't know. I think that there was something. I see. There's a part in, there's a section written by your daughter in 52 Codes.
Oh, so she meant that my husband
and you.
Were
a philosopher. Oh, right.
Yes.
Which is absolutely true.
So when you made that discovery and you started to ask that question, how did it, what were some of the steps that it led you to as a young woman?
Well, it led me to a discovery research project, first of all, because I thought somebody knows. So I started to read through philosophy, religion, for clues of the meaning of our power. I found in the New Testament the phrases like St. Paul, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Jesus, you will do the works that I do and greater works." So I said, oh, I'll join the church. So I went down to the local Episcopal church in Scarsdale. And I said to the minister, is any of this true?
Love it.
an audacious question for a young woman to ask.
How did the world change in Scarsdale?
Uh-huh. How old were you, Barbara?
16.
How old? Oh, 16. Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
So he said, you go to Sunday school, young lady. So in Sunday school, the thing I really learned about was the view of Eve.
Yes.
Right.
She was the fault. She was the problem.
Of course.
The whole thing.
And I thought, I'm exactly like her. So, you know, people have different archetypes.
Yes.
My archetype is Eve, who wanted to know.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
God.
Yes.
And instead of that, she followed Lucifer and ate the apple and got kicked out. But now Eve and the new Adam and the new Eve is really at the tree of life.
Yes, mm-hmm. Finally.
Just go rip quickly through the story. The tree, but in the story of Genesis, the Lord God said, if they learn all this, they'll be like us. They'll be like the gods. They'll be immortal. They'll get to the tree of life. And so we were excluded from the Garden of Eden in the story.
Yes.
Because I am sure Eve was heading for the tree of life. Mm. And what's happened to human history, especially from Western civilization's desire to know and to understand nature, is we gain powers of gods. Mm-hmm. And the tree of life, to me, is the tree of the power of co-creation.
Beautiful.
And if the human species with this power is not more mature, we can see, we can devolve and die. Mm. And so I guess to make this story short, not only did the church not know, but the universities didn't know the meaning of our power. And then I tried to go to Paris and go to the Sorbonne and the École des Sciences Politiques. In Paris, there was existentialism, mm-hmm. nihilism, absurdism. This was in the late 1948-49. Mm. And the fact was we had lost our story. We had lost our sense of progress and purpose as Western civilization. Absurdism and nihilism and materialism were rampant. And I believe that I met my husband at that time in Paris, and I asked him the question, what do you think is the meaning of our power that's good? And he said, I'm an artist, and I'm seeking a new image of humans commensurate with our power.
Ooh.
What?
That was a good answer.
And then I thought, I'm going to marry you.
Yes.
I did. That's how we got married.
What medium did he work in?
Well, he was a painter.
Yes.
He said that artists, that when a culture loses its story, it loses its direction and greatness, which we had lost our story. And he said, until we discovered the new story, like the Greeks had the story of Homer.
Right.
The medieval period had the Gospels. Mm-hmm. The Renaissance was beginning to gain the power of the individual and the story of liberty and then democracy and then science. And he said, the artist has to help find the new story, discover it, and then portray it so that the people can understand it.
Yes.
Right.
And so when we first met, we didn't know what the new story was or what the new image, but we knew we had to be on the path of discovery.
Right.
So we're Wonderful. Talking today with Barbara Marx Hubbard, who is giving us just a fascinating tour of some of the earliest stages of her life. And we'll be back shortly.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marx Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sadina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
George and Alan back after that delightful conversation with Barbara Marx. Isn't she just remarkable?
Well, you know what? One of the first things I loved about it is it was the humor and the laughing between the three of you. You know, I was getting an endorphic transmission of the good time that you were having, talking about some, serious things. But, you can even look at your parents and their foibles and the things they didn't know and still laugh back at it because you've awakened to a different thing. And what I think that she said that's really important or that we have learned ourselves, it doesn't really matter what your parents did. They do have influences on you. Yes, there's genetics. And as some of the biology of belief people and Bruce Lipton would say, it's not fully governing your life right now, so take back your power.
Yeah, and she certainly did. I mean, she literally is getting younger
She's getting younger.
She is. And in the interview, we talk about it. She talks about the fact that having connected to this vein of creativity and enthusiasm in her being, she just celebrates.
You listen to her voice, and again, whatever you want to say, her life force, her energy, the spirit moving through her, you would never attribute it to, and I know you're not supposed to tell a woman's age, and I don't know
what
exactly.
Oh, she doesn't mind.
She's probably, what, about 84 now?
She's in her 80s, yes, yeah. And she loves it. She loves life, and she actually feels like she's growing younger.
Kind of like we do, right?
Yeah, and, you know, I just love that. I love that question she asked of the Episcopal minister, is any of this stuff true, you know? And that's the kind of curious, engaged, passionate person that she is. No wonder she's... when we met her in Los Angeles the last time, she'd just flown in from Australia, and she was as bright and sparkling, just amazing.
Well, he didn't answer the question.
No,
he said go to Sunday school. I mean, come on, you know? Has he been there lately? He must have forgot what the truth was.
One of the reasons I left the church a long time ago was I was a little kid. I was 11, and I went home, and I said, you know, they're not answering any of my questions.
Uh-huh.
So...
you know what? I also I remember this from before. Of course, you know, I've had a good fortune to interview Barbara a number of times in the past, and you know, one of her things was, you know, evolve or die. That was like a mantra for her a number of years. I don't know if she's still doing it, but I know she brought into the conversation about devolution. And, you know, where we may be on a spiral where it seems to be there's continuity, and she says all of a sudden there's gaps. And in the gaps, that's where we have to jump. And I think we're in a jumping gap right now.
And she does jump, and it's always a pleasure, and we'll be talking to her again next week. So it's time now for You Gotta Be Kidding. You know, each week, Alan and I look at those items in the news that show us how wacky the world is. Sometimes they give us hope. A quick reminder from last week. The Federal Reserve is still soliciting comments on whether they should close the loophole in allowing large investment firms to manipulate the commodities and raw goods market. So call the Federal Reserve and say no. 202-974-7008.
Okay. I'm glad you reminded us again. And this is from Ian Millhiser of Think Progress, under the banner Indiana Legislator Votes to Allow Guns in School Parking Lots. What's the name of this thing? You gotta be kidding? yeah, I forgot. It's true. And both houses of the Indiana Legislature voted last week to approve a bill permitting guns on school grounds. Conservative Governor Mike Pence for his consideration. If Pence signs the bill, it would permit parents, teachers, school visitors, and students who belong to high school gun clubs to keep guns in their locked cars in school parking lots.
That's just bizarre. Just bizarre.
Let's see. The bill supporters include, oh, here's a new one, the NRA.
Good old Wayne LaPierre.
Right. I'm sure everybody's following him. The rationale is on the grounds that would allow gun owners to continue to carry a firearm while they are traveling to and from school. In a press conference following the Newtown, Connecticut school massacre, LaPierre argued that gun-free school zones should be eliminated because they prevent armed individuals from shooting a gunman intent on mass murder before his killing spree begins. Indeed, this press conference was the source of his claim that the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Just don't get it, man. You know?
Well, I tell you, you know, I think there's an old expression, once a fool, always a fool. So it's just impossible that a legislature in the 21st century, with everything that's going on, should have found the means of doing that. They're just bananas.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end there, Alan. Look, you know, this is from our good friend Andy Borowitz in the New Yorker, and he says, this is a satirical piece. Obama's plan to pay people enough to eat stirs controversy. President Obama has sparked outrage in Congress and renewed calls for his impeachment. by signing a daring presidential memorandum that would pay workers enough to eat. The memorandum is based on the president's view that people should be paid for the hours they actually work. And this is shaping up to be one of the most controversial and incendiary actions of his presidency. House Republican leaders have said that they warn Obama that by advancing his agenda of paying people for work they do, he's playing with political fire. Can you, I mean, Andy's just wonderful, but it's so darn close to the truth.
I don't get it. I mean, you know, what's the bill actually say? I mean, what is his memorandum?
This is a purely satirical. I mean, that's what Andy does. He talks about, he picks things that are so close to reality. Uh-huh. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at the conversation in Congress about not raising the minimum wage to barely subsistence levels, it's criminal.
Well, let me throw something else in here, because I read this recently about, there's another war going on about school lunches. And this whole conservative right wing is saying, no, it should be a brown bag thing. It's the parents' responsibilities. Then the next level is, no, we don't want to pay or subsidize for poor people's lunches. That's their problem, let alone the argument over good food in cafeterias.
It's, we are living in an age of such unconsciousness. It's beyond comprehension. And eventually those of us who have some level of consciousness are going to have to stand up and speak our truth.
I wonder if these people actually, getting back to the subject about beliefs, I wonder if they believe this is true, you know, and they're programmed that way, or, it's just ignorance. I'm not sure.
Age Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life.
Age Nation Radio.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday, and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth, and at least that much of our faculties. AgeNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. AgeNation.com, for the generations who changed the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com. It's free. Sign up today.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Reclaim your passion. Age Nation Radio.
George and Alan back. It's now time for Sedina's valuable enlightened aging strategy.
Hi, I'm Sedina Capanelli with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging Strategy is reconnection to wholeness. The dictionary describes wholeness as something complete with no missing parts. Undivided. Since health and wholeness are achieved by keeping the body's energy moving efficiently, when our energy becomes blocked because of the resistance or negativity in our minds, we can experience a disconnect or dis-ease in the body. Renewal and reconnection require us to bring the mind and body back into harmony. There are many ways to reconnect us to our natural state of well-being. Our brain will act on any information it receives, so we can train ourselves to think and feel the way we intend and get amazing results. An old Chinese expression tells us, wherever the mind goes, the energy or qi follows. So the conscious choice to think and act from love can literally dissolve fear and limitations, awaken the spirit, realign the mind and body, and bring health and vitality into all areas of our lives. So here are some reconnection tools. Breathing consciously will dispel the old stale energy and refresh our mind and body and spirit. So breathe. Movement of any kind is extremely beneficial since energy is transmitted through vibration. Every day, find ways to integrate pleasurable movement or exercise into your life. Find ways to get moving physically. There is no drug that compares to its positive benefits. Walking or hiking in nature is a mental clearing and wakes us up to our creativity as it renews us physically, mentally, and spiritually. So yoga, qigong, swimming, biking, and any type of stretching, bouncing, running, walking, or dancing will vibrate the 40 trillion cells needed to maintain your body for 1 second. Connecting with the divine, whether in nature or during meditation or prayer, bring peace and balance to the body, mind, and spirit. And smiling and laughing send healing endorphins throughout the body and provide oxygen to the brain. Did you know that? Can be as beneficial as an hour of exercise. So each day, create a strong vision of wholeness, too, with a powerful intention of peace, wellness, abundance, harmony, and love. All these reconnection tools can bring each of us into the ultimate wholeness we were born to be. Remember this reconnection to wholeness strategy for your Aging Consciously backpack. And for more Enlivened Aging strategies, go to EnlivenedAging, AGEING.com. And many blessings.
All right. So next week we're going back to more deeply into this conversation about spirituality and health. We'll be back with the next part of George and Sedina's interview with wise woman Barbara Marks Hubbard. You'll hear more great music. Sedina will be back with another terrific and live and aging strategy. And our You've Got to Be Kidding piece, and George will close with another provocative commentary to help you live the life you were born to live.
We really invite you to visit agenation.com. Sign up for your free subscription to Next, our digital magazine, and pick up a copy of Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. Very pleased to report that the book won its 5th national award this week, and there's a reason for it. It really does have terrific content for you. If you like spending time and learning from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time, visit NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. We've got some great news coming up, and you'll hear about a terrific way to be in intimate contact with 16 of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. And now here's Alan with another lyrical Rudy rap to close out this segment, The Laws of Love and Belief.
All right, and it's to the music. It's Thinking is the group, like that name. Afterglow is the name of the track, and this is from something that goes back a number of years. Excursions and Ambiance is the album, and here it is. The Laws of Love and Beliefs. The law of love, some say it comes from above, in contrast to below, as in heaven or hell, metaphors casting a mild spell. The law of belief comes from the mind of you and I, and can create a unity bind. So let's clear the reality, get out of duality, and look at nature's laws. Effect then cause, and like writings before, address this one great law. Generally, a definition would be too limiting, but one recently touched love as infinity. Love, L-O-V-E, if not fully accurate, is in close proximity. Love, an acronym for Law of Vibrational Essence, verifiable by quantum science, somewhat observable, and in physics reliant? Think of a greater intelligence that holds all in relevance. Unity, all together, like birds of a feather. Order. Order in seeming chaos. All form in states of vibration, collective frequency, nations, all ages and creations, coexisting in some common essence, the underlying consciousness of presence that even engages our human matter, atoms, molecules, the whole cellular smatter that we attempt to name as part of the intellect game. Now, that's where we can go off. For whose beliefs are you living? What gifts or rifts of thoughts are you giving? And what is your true knowing? Are you in divine integrity or just blowing someone else's PR snowing? How about love is balance, harmony and perfection, no discordant valence? Except perhaps in human creations, erecting me versus you stations, mind and ego alterations, distorting our God-given joy and elations with a variety of human placations. Beliefs often are dogma. Separation storma, me versus you abnorma, that creates violence ad nausea. Now step up to the plate before it's too late. Yes, help change our collective fate and the duality berate. Learn the law of love, neither below or above. Become a harmony dove, L-O-V-E. Send a heartful frequency to all of we.
Believing and knowing. Nice job, Alan. Nice job. Let's take us out here.
Okay. Huh? Here's some good music.
Yet to come. Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action and to a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit donotgoquietlythebook.com.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.